Well, the shallow gene pool for tigers raises an issue about the human gene pool. For the next segment, a discussion of what does it mean to be human. We're going to focus on some research that Neanderthals, you know, extinct Neanderthals, the cavemen that we make so much fun of.
Oh, I remember them well.
Geico makes so much. You dated some Neanderthals,
I've had one or two blind dates, yeah.
Kate Wong joins us in the studio, editor and writer at Scientific American, co-author of Lucy's Legacy with Donald Johansson. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Let's talk about some research which suggests that Neanderthals, far from being an extinct sort of transitional species of humanoid, could conceivably have been competitive with the Homo sapiens or whatever else was going on at the time, and that, in fact, Neanderthal DNA resides in most of us on planet Earth today, right?
Yeah, it's a really amazing discovery that was announced earlier this year. Scientists reported that they had assembled a draft genome of the Neanderthal using ancient DNA obtained from Neanderthal fossils. And when they compared this Neanderthal DNA to DNA from people living today, they concluded that up to 4% of our DNA actually came from Neanderthals. And this means that our ancestors interbred with Neanderthals probably between 45,000 and 80,000 years ago in the Middle East.
And the scenario here, the dating scenario that we're talking about here, is humanoids from Africa migrated to the Middle East. And at some point in that Middle East sort of theater, there was interbreeding. And explain how different species can interbreed. That doesn't seem like it would be possible.
Well, it's still a little bit unclear the extent to which Neanderthals and Homo sapiens were completely separate. They may have been a subspecies of Homo sapiens, or it may have just been early enough in the split that they were still similar enough that they could interbreed and produce fertile offspring.
Is there a percentage threshold of genomic similarity that would allow you to breed? I guess the chimpanzee similarity is something like 98%. That's, can't breed with chimps. Not on this show.
Yeah, right. I don't think that anybody has actually put a number to that, a genetic similarity number that would tell us whether or not interbreeding would be possible.
Well, how similar would Homo sapiens be to, say, Neanderthal genetic material?
They would be more than 99%.
I see. So it's much more similar.
Yes.
So what characteristics of Neanderthals that we associate with modern civilization or modern levels of intelligence is also part of this research?
Well, for the genetic studies, we don't really know yet whether the Neanderthal DNA contained instructions for particularly noteworthy things. It may have just been sort of randomly inherited genetic material that didn't really code for anything particularly important. But much more informative in that regard have been new discoveries that have been made in the archaeological record, particularly of Spain recently, where a researcher by the name of Joao Zilliao from the University of Bristol has found some really interesting evidence that Neanderthals were thinking symbolically.
Thinking symbolically, which had to do with the way they dressed themselves, with paintings or what? What's the evidence?
Yeah, well, the evidence is these painted seashells that probably would have been worn as pendants. And also some remains of pigments that the Neanderthals would have mixed up and probably applied to their faces. These were sparkly pigments.
So in other words, wearing jewelry and putting on makeup is a sign of intelligence or further growth, progress along the human scale?
It's a sign of symbolic thinking, and symbolic thinking is something that we use to define modern humans, and it includes things like language. Of course, language doesn't preserve in the archaeological record, but art and symbols like jewelry or makeup do.
How do they know the difference between this symbolic thinking, which would be I put face paint on to make myself superior to you or to represent some sort of force of nature,
or to get a guy?
Right, exactly. I put the face paint on to scare the living bejesus out of you. What's the difference between...
We don't know why they were
exactly
putting the makeup on.
Exactly.
Okay, it may have been just to look nice for each other. It may have been to...
Cover up a bad night the night before.
Yeah, exactly. Or display to the rest of the people on the landscape, hey, I'm a member of this group, and this is how we wear our face paint.
Isn't it one of the great mysteries why Neanderthals died out?
It is indeed. It's a $64,000 question, especially the more we learn about how intelligent they were. Some of the latest research has come from paleoclimate studies of the ancient climate. And what researchers have found is that starting around 55,000 years ago, the climate conditions in Eurasia, which is where Neanderthals lived, started rapidly deteriorating. We were heading into an ice age. But not only that, the changes were really, really rapid, and it would go from absolutely frigid to mild and back again, sometimes in the span of just decades.
Hmm. Kate, what are the dangers of looking at the evidence that you found so far and applying too much, trying to make too much of a connection between us and them? In other words, it's almost like anthropomorphizing animals. When we look at Neanderthals and when you say, you know, painted shells, is it in fact pretty much the same reason why we do things? Or might there have been a whole other set of motivations going on there?
Yeah, we can't really know what the motivations were. All we can do is look at the evidence and say Neanderthals were doing something that we typically associate just with modern humans. Mm. So the basic assumption there has to be that they had the same capabilities and they were probably doing these things for the same reasons that we do.
And our assumption that it's reductive, that basically Neanderthals went away because we're more advanced, is really at the core of why this research is so fascinating. Our cliche image of Neanderthals in like skins and, you know, hanging around glaciers with mastodons is actually, according to the research, possibly a moment in time that indicated that they were dying out because the climate was so bad. They came to fruition in a much warmer time period. So I guess the question really is it possible that Neanderthals were supplanted by a less advanced species called Homo sapiens and not a more advanced?
I don't know if it's less advanced, but what the evidence does suggest is that Neanderthals were facing really, really tough times when the climate started changing that quickly. And whereas the old idea used to be that modern humans might have swept in and just killed them all off, now it seems like there were much more subtle, complex forces at work that drove the Neanderthals to extinction.
Forgive me for doing this, but equally outdated apparently is the use of the pronunciation of it as Neanderthal. Why is it Neanderthal and not Neanderthal?
The German pronunciation would be a silent H, so Neanderthal.
Okay.
Finally, is Garrison Keillor more of a Neanderthal or a Homo sapiens?
Oh, I can't answer that question.
And then we're moving on to John Hockenberry.
Yeah.
And then,
clearly,
we can just take
chimpanzee,
this.
That's me. Kate Wong, editor and writer at Scientific American and co-author of Lucy's Legacy, about this research on the Neanderthals with Donald Johansson in Scientific American. Kate, thanks so much.
Thank you.